Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. The sermon for today, the 14th Sunday after Trinity, is written by the Most Reverend Archbishop John T. Calhoun, Jr., late Metropolitan of the ACC. I'm calling it Obedience to God. He first gave this September 13th, 1998. No, going to have it again today. The Samaritan is the hero of this morning's gospel, just as the Samaritan was the hero in last Sunday's gospel, as you'll remember. The points Jesus makes in both gospels would still be there if the heroes were not Samaritans. But the fact that they are Samaritans gives each story some extra bite, because the people who were around Jesus hated Samaritans. Last week, Jesus held up a Samaritan as the perfect example of how to obey God's commandment, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. This week, out of 10 people who have received a miraculous physical healing, a Samaritan is the only one who bothers to thank God. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem from his home territory of Galilee, in the northern part of Israel. As he goes into a village along the road, he sees 10 lepers. The Old Testament had quite a few rules and regulations to cover people who had skin diseases. One was that they were supposed to try not to contaminate other people. So St. Luke reports that the lepers stood afar off. From their position afar off, they yell over to Jesus and say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They are asking him to heal them. What Jesus does not say is almost as remarkable as what he does say. He says, "Go show yourselves to the priests." He does not say, "Be healed," or "Ephphatha," or even, "Your sins are forgiven." Telling them to show themselves to the priests is a test of their confidence in him. People with strange skin diseases were not allowed to worship with the rest of the community. When they thought they were over their illness, they had to get the priest to check them out and then readmit them officially. If they went to the priest before they were actually well, they would contaminate him, which would get them into further difficulty. So for them to head off to the priests, just because Jesus said so, showed their tremendous trust in his power to heal them. Their trust was rewarded, for as St. Luke tells us, it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. If the story ended there, it would still have made several very telling points. First of all, the story confirms the idea that Jesus can heal. He has given the same power to the church. We should be confident when we ask for his healing power now, as the lepers were then. Next, we see Jesus works his miracle through their obedience. They ask him for healing. He tells them what they have to do. They do it, and then they get what they want. Too often, we want God to perform miracles for us when we are not willing to obey him or do our part. We ask him to change the behavior of our family members and other difficult people without involving us in any messy confrontations. We ask for good health while we continue to abuse our bodies. We demand that he fish us out of financial predicaments when we refuse to tithe. The obedience of the lepers sets the proper example. But the story does not end with the leper's obedience. One of the 10 lepers, who is on his way to the priests, sees that he has been healed. He turns back to Jesus, throws himself down at Jesus' feet, praises God, and thanks Jesus for what he has done for him. Jesus, not passing up an opportunity for a bit of sarcasm, asks, "Were not 10 he cleansed? But where are the 9? The only one who has bothered to praise and thank God for what he did was the Samaritan of all people. Then he tells the Samaritan, up and go about your business. Your faith has made you whole. Only a real cynic would imagine that when the nine got to the priest, they had leprosy all over again because they weren't properly grateful. St. Luke tells us no such thing, of course. But Jesus is making a significant point about faith in the way he says to the Samaritan, in what he says to the Samaritan. Christianity is all about establishing a relationship to God. That relationship is called faith. God is our Father. We have confidence and trust that he loves us and he always forgives us, and that he is watching over us, and that he is encouraging us and helping us to do the right thing, and that he intends to take us to heaven in the end, where we can see why the events of our lives unfolded as they did. But a relationship is a two-way street. God wants us to thank him for what happens in our lives. He wants us to thank him for the things we like. That way, we won't forget where they came from, so we can ask again. And he wants us particularly to thank him for things we don't like. If we believe that everything that happens to us is something God either causes or allows, then we have to believe that everything, like it or not, fits into his overall plan and makes sense. So thank God for whatever happens, especially something we don't like or don't understand. Is not to deny that what we really think, but instead to begin to say, I don't know what you're up to here, God, but I have faith that you are doing something that is ultimately good. So please show me and help me. The Samaritan liked what had happened, but he still closed the loop by thanking God and Jesus. So he didn't go home thinking he deserved what had happened to him. Instead, his faith and made him whole. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as its most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen.